Chapter 31 Rainbow Nation Simulation. Desmond the Arch-Tutu was the architect of the Rainbow Nation. The flamboyant and charismatic cleric coined the colourful term for the new South Africa and led the nation-building project, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Tutu's hope was that people once forcibly separated would come together in friendship, joined by the glue of reconciliation. White people would repent, black people would forgive, and after an era of oppression and division, men and women of every hue would unite in a post-racial melting pot. Who doesn't love a happily ever after ending? Well, besides the Nazi-adjacent, white supremacist Afrikaner Weerstandsbeweging. The spirit of the Rainbow Nation was summed up by a 47-second Castle Lager advert from 1994, which starts with a multiracial group of soccer-playing friends in the changing room after a game. What's up with Frank, one asks, as the camera turns to a glum black player packing away his kit. A voiceover explains that Frank, one of the fellows, has been offered a trial with a top English team, but has no cash to get there. Hey guys, we've got to do something, says one of Frank's buddies. The next scene shows the white and black teammates raising funds at a fete, so Frank can realize his dream. They're selling booty rolls and beer and auctioning Maradona's boots. Come on, guys, it's for Frank, someone shouts. The advert ends at the pub, where Frank's mates hand him a beer glass with a piece of paper in it. What's this, he asks. It's a ticket to London. Frank, misty-eyed and emotional, manages to blurt out a croaky thank you. It takes a person with a lump of coal for a heart not to be moved by this ad, which captured the Rainbow Nation zeitgeist. Braaivleis, soccer, sunny skies, and Madiba. There's some irony that Frank's dream could only come true overseas, but never mind. It was no coincidence that soccer played a role in the advert. Sport was at the heart of the Rainbow Nation mythology. In 1995, the Springboks, the little team that could, came out of the sporting wilderness to beat the team of Goliaths, the All Blacks, in the Rugby World Cup final in Johannesburg. It was pure Hollywood. When the final whistle blew, Madiba, the pot of gold at the end of the Rainbow Nation, walked onto the field in the Bok captain's number 6 jersey. People who once despised him and everything he stood for cheered and roared, tears streaming down their cheeks. While democracy's greatest triumph took place on 27 April 1994, when black and white citizens voted together for the first time, the 1995 Rugby World Cup final was the moment the Rainbow Nation myth reached its zenith. And yes, there was a Hollywood movie about the game. But there couldn't be reconciliation without a reckoning. And one of Mandela's first acts as president was to establish the TRC to document the human rights offences of the country's complicated and multi-layered past, so South Africans could move into the post-apartheid future. For reconciliation to take place, there needed to be forgiveness, and the first step was for perpetrators to come clean. The Commission's focus was on restoration, not retribution. If the monsters disclosed the politically motivated evil deeds they committed, they would get the carrot of amnesty. If they didn't go to the TRC, or if they lied, the stick of prosecution was waiting for them. Lies would see perpetrators jailed. The truth would set them and South Africa free. But the perpetrators weren't interested in reconciliation, and they didn't care about being forgiven. They just didn't want to spend the rest of their days in prison. To some extent, the TRC shed light on the dark events of the past. But with many perpetrators dodging the commission, lying, or claiming to have just been following the orders of generals who had conveniently died, the process turned out to be a truth omission. The TRC heard confessions from more than 7,000 perpetrators, and only 849 were granted amnesty. Perhaps its success was in giving victims a platform to share their trauma and begin to heal. Activists and their families gave harrowing accounts of harassment, detention, and torture. 3 decades after democracy, the Rainbow Nation myth has unraveled, as myths inevitably do. When the unraveling started is not clear, but the rainbow is now in a muddy puddle at the bottom of a pothole. We were so desperate to get to the promised land that we avoided dealing with the horrific ugliness of the brutal past. Apartheid's legacies are still with us. According to the World Bank, South Africa is the world's most unequal country, with the highest Gini coefficient, the main measure of disparities in income and consumption. Many black people remain poor and marginalized. Many white people remain fearful and suspicious. Racial tensions bubble below the surface and explode into the open whenever a crass racist utters a slur or urinates on a black person's belongings. The real Rainbow Nation is not a Rugby World Cup victory, although that's a welcome distraction, and it won't be achieved simply by wearing a green jersey. And while Springboks skipper Siya Kolisi lifting the Webb Ellis Cup is important to nation building, even if it is fleeting, what we need is a commitment to socioeconomic justice. The real Rainbow Nation is an unshakable democracy with an active citizenry that holds public officials accountable, recognizes South Africa's unjust history, and works towards creating a country that has true equality, politically, socially, and economically, in work, housing, health, land, education, and law. There can't be reconciliation without equality, and until it is achieved, Rainbow Nation will be no more than a glib slogan. In the meantime, it's time for the politicians to stand back and let the people who make beer adverts run the country. Rainbow aglow. Whenever there's a South African success story, the country celebrates together and the Rainbow Nation dream briefly comes alive again. Triumphs that the country has united behind. Springbok Rugby World Cup victories in 1995, 2007, 2019 and 2023. Bafana Bafana winning the Africa Cup of Nations in 1996. Swimmer Penny Haynes's double gold at the Atlanta Olympics in 1996. Ernie Els being ranked the world number one golfer in 1998. Charlize Theron receiving the Best Actress gong at the Oscars for Monster in 2004. South Africa's successful bid in 2004 to host the 2010 Soccer World Cup. The SA vs. Australia One Day International in 2006, with the Proteas successfully chasing down Australia's world record 434 total and reaching 438 with a ball to spare. Bafana Bafana's Sipiwe Tshabalala scoring the first goal at the 2010 Soccer World Cup. Oscar Pistorius, a para-athlete competing in the Olympic Games in 2012, 2 years before the country came together to watch his murder trial. Caster Semenya's running feats, 2 800-meter Olympic golds, 3 800-meter world championships, and 2 Commonwealth Games middle distance golds. Wade van Niekerk breaking the men's 400-meter world record in the 2016 Olympic Games with a time of 43.03 seconds. Master KG's Jerusalema inspiring a global dance challenge. Trevor Noah becoming an international A-list celebrity and hosting the Grammys in 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. Banyana Banyana winning the Women's Africa Cup of Nations in 2022.